Everyone, we're glad you're here tonight. So good to be able to worship and serve the Lord. Before I start preaching tonight, I'd like to also include the announcement concerning Edward Nelson. That's Thomas Nelson's brother. The visitation will be Tuesday night from 6 to 9 at Limestone Chapel Funeral Home. And the funeral will be Wednesday at 2 p.m. And we surely want to remember them in our prayers and do everything we can to encourage them along with the Claxton family this week. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans and whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This is the reading from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Easy words to understand, but powerful words to bring about action. Here we find that Jesus zeroes in his application of these words to the people that he's talking to. And his point was, unless you repent, you will perish. At the very heart of the message found in the Word of God is the fact that God sent His Son to die for sinners. But not all sinners will be saved because they will not repent. God has made it very clear that unless we repent, we will perish. And we're going to talk tonight for a little while about repentance and about perishing. Surely when you think of perishing, you know that what God is saying, somebody's going to be lost. Somebody's going to perish. Somebody's going to be condemned. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. It's real interesting when you turn in the Word of God, you find that there are many, many passages on repentance. For example, in Matthew 9, verse 13, the Bible says, Jesus said, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth, that I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Why you come, Lord? Come to call men. What kind of men are you come to call? Not those that are already saved, not those that are righteous, but sinners. In Matthew 4 and verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." There we have the word again. Repent. In Ezekiel 18, verse 32, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live." There you have a clue as to repentance. God says, turn. Turn yourselves. In Luke 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." Joy where? In heaven. Why? Because a sinner has repented more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. God loves sinners. He wants all sinners to do what? To repent or to perish. In 2 Chronicles 7, 14 that we could use in America today, There the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God said, I will hear when my people turn to me, when my people repent. In 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God said this, here's what I will do. I will make you clean if you will acknowledge, confess your sin and repent. In Acts 3, verse 19, Luke records these words, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent before the refreshing of times will come. And then in Luke 13, verse 3 that we read, and Jesus said, I tell you, unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, beginning in verse 21, Ezekiel the prophet sounds forth these words, but if the wicked will turn, repent, if the wicked will turn from all of his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and not die. The motivation to get people to turn to God. Repent. And God said, this is what I will do. The passage in Acts 17, 30 and 31. Very familiar. The times of this ignorance God winked at. But now, God commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because unless men repent, they will perish. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to repent. And then we hear in Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's what we want. That's why God says, repent or perish. James tells us in James 4, verses 8 through 10, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw near to God. Turn to God. In Revelation 2, and verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, he's talking to the Ephesian brethren, and he said, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. How many times does the Bible have to tell us, repent or perish? Why won't people then repent? One of the, perhaps the most familiar verses in the Bible with reference to repentance is found in Acts 2 in verse 38. The people who now have been moved to realize they are sinners, the Bible tells us, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm telling you, the application is to those to whom He's speaking. But it radiates and goes out to all men that are sinners. I tell you now, unless you repent, and there is no exception, you will likewise perish. How important then is repentance? Those who have repented are promised life. They're promised forgiveness, a restoration to God. Repentance is a change of heart and mind that will do something, that will result in a change of life. The Bible tells us who needs to repent. The people on the day of Pentecost were told to repent. There's David. David is told about himself being a sinner. And Nathan looks at him and says to him, "Thou art the man that I'm speaking of." What does David do? David said, "I have sinned against God." Perhaps the parable in Matthew 21, in verses 28 through 31, there was a man that had two sons. And he said to them, "Go in my vineyard and work." The first son responded, "I will not go." He was determined not to do what his father willed for him to do. He said, "I will not." But afterward, he repented and he went. The other one said, "I will go." But he didn't go. And Jesus said, "Which did the will of the Father?" It was obvious. The man who first had said, "I will not, it's not my will, I will not do it." But then something happened. He repented, and then he went. He changed his mind. He made a turn. He then did what the Father wanted him to do. Ron Hallbrook had this, I thought, was such a good illustration of repentance. I want to use it tonight. And notice, he will, how that the Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" We know that. Why? Because he's just told us that. You can't go to heaven if you engage in these things. And Paul writes, and he said, "Don't be deceived. Don't let somebody else tell you it's all right for you to live like you're living. You're a sinner. You're all right in the eyes of men." But Paul said, "Don't be deceived." All right, why not be deceived? Or what causes people to be deceived? Look who he's talking to. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abuse themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." Paul, what do you say? Paul said there will be those that cannot, will not be in the kingdom of God. There will be those that will not make it to heaven. Why? Because of what they're doing. And he says, none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, "And such were some of you." Some of you were guilty of all of the various ones of these sins. Whoever may be guilty of whatever sin. Paul said, you cannot go to heaven if you're guilty of these things. God will not let you be in heaven. Why? Why? Because these, in God's sight, are transgressions of His will, and His will is to be respected and obeyed. Ah, then he writes and he says, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." People that are selfish, that are proud, that are envious, that full of hatred and bitterness. God said, you're not going to be able to enter the kingdom of God. People that are dishonest, gamble. People that have anger fits, cursing and lying. spreading of rumors. You can't make it. People that are on drugs or social drinking, tobacco addictions, all these things. And then notice too, dancing, pornography, immodest dress, false religion, teachers. Oh, we could just keep adding and adding to it. These are all transgressions of God's will. And they that do these things must do what? They must change. They must turn. Yes, they must repent and obey God. People who forsake assembling themselves together with the saints of God. Why? Why is that such a big thing with God? Because God said, don't do it. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm just amazed at that little statement Paul inserted at the end of all of those. And he said, and such like. Anything that's similar to these things, what must they do? Well, the obvious answer is they must stop it. They must repent. They can be washed, sanctified, and justified, as we read from 1 Corinthians 11. They can begin to live a godly life, live soberly, righteously, and godly. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What's appeared to all men? The grace of God. Who needs grace? All men do. But what does that grace tell you? How is that grace covering you? Listen to Him. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Repent or perish, Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 2. There's three things involved in repentance, at least. The first one is really feeling sorry for what you've done. Having godly sorrow. Look what godly sorrow will do. How many of us will have to admit when we've sinned, we know it's wrong. We know we're wrong. What do you do about it? Here's what God says. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world, a work of death. Am I willing to look at myself, examine myself, see myself as I really am, and if I've transgressed or failed God, to admit it and then turn from that which is wrong and repent before God. Truly regret because of the sorrow that you've caused God. Secondly, make a complete reversal in one's life. And brethren, let me tell you tonight, one of the greatest joys that we can have is knowing that a man who has lived in sin or a woman that's lived in sin makes a change in their life. They do repent. They obey God. And they make a totally different appearance. Why? Because they now bear fruits worthy of repentance, as John the Baptist told the people to do who came to his baptism in Luke 3, verse 8. And he goes on to talk about the tax collectors collect only what is right. Talking about those that are dishonest quit stealing. Talking about adultery, Jesus tells us, stop it. Told the woman in John 8 who had taken in the very act of adultery. What was she to do? Go and sin no more. We may be guilty of it, but God tells us through His Word, when we meet the conditions of pardon, we can be forgiven. But what we do, we prove to God that we've made up our minds. We're going to serve Him. We're going to do His will and follow His will. And three, yes, as the woman was told, go and sin no more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, the Corinthians are commended because they have repented. And that is, the man that was living with his father's wife, they have put away. This man likewise, later we learned earlier that he actually does repent. He changes. And now then, look what Paul says to the Corinthians. For behold, this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what cleansing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, and in all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. That is beautiful. To have it washed away. To have it cleared. No more guilty of it. That's where we want to stand with God. David did some terrible things in his life. But one thing that later as David repented, the Bible says, truly, he said, my sin is ever before me. He broke the very heart of God. And we do the same when we engage in that which God tells us not to. It broke the heart of David to know that he had broken the heart of God. Remember the man that had the two sons. One said, I will not go, but afterward he repented and went. Jesus says, whether of them that did the will of his father. They say unto him the first, and Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? Because when they're told that they're wrong, they correct it. They obey God. And they want to serve Him. We conclude tonight. Repent or perish. What a statement. Powerful words. You're in the assembly tonight. You've never been baptized. Well, then you've got to turn. If you want to be baptized scripturally, you've got to repent. Yes, and confess the sweetest name, O mortal tongue, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Make a complete change in your life. Now, you're no longer considered one that is separated from God. When you obey Him, now you're cleansed. Now you're walking with Him. And if you're a child of God, and you have lived faithfully in the service of the Master, tell Him. He knows. You can't fool Him. But He'll forgive. That's why I love to preach about Jesus. That's why I love to hear His words. Because I know they're true. Because if you repent, you will not perish. If you repent and obey Him, you'll go to heaven if you'll live faithfully in the service of the Lord. Are you here tonight, subject in any way? If we can help you, won't you come while together we stand?